Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, for your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery is made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of the saints, his grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring a light for everyone that is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that though the church and manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, this is according to the eternal purpose that he was realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel appointed for the Feast of the Epiphany is the Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
We read in the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, a new year already underway, and I keep thinking to myself, can it really be 2025 already? How fast time moves. I heard a story of two young boys who were getting acquainted at an interstate rest stop one day. As they stood by the pop machine, the first boy said, "We're going to Kansas, and my dad is driving really fast. Where are you going?" Second boy said, "Well, I don't know, but we're going really fast, too." That's how it feels, doesn't it, sometimes? Not sure where we're going, but we're going really fast. We wonder, where will this new year take us? It's not always easy to answer that. Maybe you're facing a big change in your life. Like a friend of mine named Paul in Vancouver, who just lost his wife Joyce to a sudden heart attack last month. Or like my sister Natalie, facing severe back pain that has limited her movement and isn't yielding to any of the doctor's treatments. And she's asking, now what? Or maybe up ahead of you, you see some momentous decision rushing at you. Can't put it off any longer, but don't know what to choose. Take a job offer or not. Move or not. I'm also thinking of some of those people who've taken an exit off of life's interstate and wound up in a kind of dead end. The worker who's been laid off when his company downsized, or the stroke patient whose recovery has slowed down to a crawl. To their question, where am I going, comes a rather numbing answer, nowhere. Some of us seated here in church this morning may feel that way spiritually. We can remember how once upon a time things felt very new in our faith. We were enthusiastic. We were excited. But now? Well, it feels like the fires have burned a little low. Maybe we've lost our appetite to study the Bible. Struggling to pray. Still coming to church, but it's mostly out of habit these days. Just sort of going through the motions on Sundays. Well, it is a new year on life's interstate highway, Interstate 2025, and we're going real fast, but we wonder where. This morning we observe, with much of the church, the festival of Epiphany. The gospel appointed for today is that familiar story of the men who discovered where they were going and whose journey has much to teach us, busy travelers like us. I'll just review parts of the story again from Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." You remember Herod consulted his advisors, who identified Bethlehem as the place. Prophet Micah said so. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country. If we are asking ourselves, where will I go this year? I believe God would direct us, go with the wise men. Go with the wise men. And how did those wise men go? Well, three things strike me. First of all, they let God do the leading. He employed for them an incredible star. The star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. In the Bible class this morning, we were asking what kind of star this was. Was it the extremely rare conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn, which astronomers tell us occurred in the year 7 BC and not again for more than 800 years? Astrologers of that day knew that Jupiter was the planet of kings. Saturn was a planet associated with Israel or Palestine. And the conclusion they might have reached, without being believers of any sort, is that the conjunction of those two planets was a sign some kind of divine ruler is supposed to appear in Palestine. Or was it, as others think, a supernatural star made by God for this specific occasion, for just that moment in history, to guide those men? Whatever it was, the point is, they had sense enough to follow it. Now, maybe you're sitting there this morning saying, well, I haven't seen any stars lately. No matter. God is pretty flexible. He will find a way to lead those who are open to being led by him. He will find a way. For you, it might be the prayerful concern of a Christian friend who takes you aside and shares something important. It might be the strong tug of your conscience. Or best of all, it could be a certain word, a convicting word written in the Bible, that Bible that Nathan shared with the children this morning. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a guide to my path. But I would add, have a care, because those who would let God lead them must be willing to leave certain things behind. I'm going to repeat that. If you want God to lead you, you will have to leave something behind. Now, we're not so certain whether the wise men were from Babylonia or Persia or some other spot in the ancient Near East. But we can be sure of this. They had to leave something to make this trip. They left their homes, left their families, left their jobs for starters. They did it to undertake a journey that was hundreds of miles each direction, a journey that was expensive, and may I add, dangerous, and lasted many months. They show us that letting God lead always means leaving something behind. Our sins, definitely, but probably other things too. The familiar rhythm of our schedule, the habits we've ingrained in ourselves over many years, our sense of comfort and security. We may have to leave all that behind. Isn't that one reason why so many of us wind up going nowhere? We will not, cannot leave certain precious things behind. Picture a drunken man who is attempting to row a boat across a lake. After a long time of fruitlessly pulling on the oars and considerable cursing, he has gone nowhere. And then a passerby shouts to him, "Your boat is still tied to the dock." Oh, what is it that you can't bear to leave behind here in January 2025, even as you beg the Lord to lead you into this new year? Is there something from which you need to be untied? There is a second way that we can go with the wise men this year, namely, to go with the same purpose that they had. They said their purpose to King Herod. They said, "Where is he? We have come to worship him." They had not come to take slides of the Holy Land. They had not come to make a fortune trading rugs and spices. They hadn't come to sample rich food and drink on the trip of a lifetime. No, they journeyed to meet someone and to worship him. to make a rendezvous with a king at whose feet they hoped to worship. And when they found him, they knew what to do. They rejoiced, for they were wise enough to recognize a precious gift from God when they saw him. Then the Bible says that they worshiped him. They weren't too proud or too sophisticated to bow before this little child. They knew who he was. Then they gave him gifts, costly gifts, beautiful gifts, fit for a king. Because he is a king, isn't he? Their king, our king. Tell me, what is the purpose that you've set out on as you go into the year 2025? Where are you headed as you go down Interstate 2025? Are you trying to impress your friends, win an award, pile up a bigger portfolio, or what? Or do you seek him, to know him, kneel before him, and worship him? To make a serious study of the Word of God for the first time in years, maybe? To undertake a daily quiet time with him, which you've been putting off for ever so long? Where are you? Where am I as this year gets underway? Are you doing what the wise men were doing? And look at the eagerness with which they worship him. Compare it to the refrain that I have heard so often over the years. Oh, do I have to go to church again? How long is that going to take? And look at the gifts that they brought. Then ask, have I ever given this king of mine anything that really cost me? Am I bringing him leftovers? Whatever I have left after my bills are paid and I'm not too tired? No, then hear an astonishing thing. This child has grown to be a man, and he also comes on a journey seeking someone. Jesus has come into this world seeking even those who take no time for him, even those who bring no gift to him. He has come on a long journey down into this world, all the way to darkest Oregon, to find us. In this new year, he's on the way to find you with his grace. So I'd encourage you to be prepared to meet him along the way and to worship him when he comes near. And then what? Well, there is a third way that the wise men teach us about our going into a new year. After they met him, they went back home to serve him there. Have you ever thought about how the story of the wise men ends? They didn't stay in Bethlehem. It says they departed to their own country. That's significant, isn't it? They went back. Back to their families, back to their neighborhoods, back to their work. And that's the way it has to be with us. We don't stay holed up here in church. The church is not an asylum for timid souls who want to escape reality. The church is rather a hospital from which people who have been healed return healthy to their homes and get back to work and take again their responsibilities. So what did the wise men do when they got home? Well, I'll leave you to ponder that. The Bible doesn't say, but I would ask you, do you suppose it was just business as usual again? One poet says that the wise men were no longer at home among an alien people clutching their gods. That's where we live. We live among an alien people clutching their gods. How will we behave among them? Don't you suppose the wise men told others what they had experienced on their trip? Don't you suppose they led rather different lives with different values and a new courage? So what will we do when we get back home today and tomorrow? When we go back to school, or back to jobs or a circle of friends. What shall we say to people who walk around in the fog of directionless life? Shall we not say something about the one we have seen and worshiped right here? Years ago, two young men who were fast friends were both converted to Christianity in the same year. They were so overwhelmed by the grace of God and the difference he made in their lives that they made a pact together. And the pact was they decided to open a store together and use all the profits to spread the gospel of Jesus. That's what they did. I would say those are two very wise young men. 2025 lies before us. Some of what it will bring is known to us. Most remains uncertain at best. But we need to not wander around as if we're lost. It's our privilege to go with the wise men this year, to let God do the leading, to seek Christ and worship him come what may, and then to serve him wherever he sends us. When that happens, Happy New Year will cease being an empty wish and will become instead a blessed reality. Happy New Year. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.